Thank you. like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are y'all doing this morning? Good to see you all this morning. So, we still have the bag available if somebody would like to take it. So, I'll take volunteers. That whole slow down. Y'all, I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the people that are this tall or taller. All right. So, today, what is this? Do y'all know what this is? An eraser, right? And it's a monkey eraser. What do we do with erasers?
We erase mistakes,
right? How many of y'all have ever made a mistake? Yeah, a few. Thank you for being honest, Joel. You come by, I'm honest. And how many of us wish our mistakes could be erased so we wouldn't get in trouble and so people wouldn't feel bad, right? All of us, right? And so when we talk about Jesus and when we consider his work on the cross and his death and resurrection and ascension, we know that we are forgiven of our mistakes. And he erases our mistakes and he helps us to be better and helps us to be the people that we're supposed to be. Now, you all have erasers on your pencils at school, right? So every time you see your eraser, every time you have to erase a mistake and put in the right answer, I want you to remember how much Jesus loves you and how he has come to help erase our mistakes and to make us better, okay? All right. We're going to pray, and then you all are... Hold on. We're going to pray first. Then you can go to Children's Church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for erasing our mistakes and for making us whole. We thank you for each and every child that is here, not only the opportunities we have to teach them, but Lord, also the opportunities we have to learn from them. We pray that you would continue to help them grow into the men and women that you have created them to be. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all. Because none of you volunteered, Joe has the bag, so I blame all of you next week. All right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Again, we've been in the middle of our stewardship campaign. If you'll remember, a few weeks ago we began and we looked at the woman in Luke 13 who had been bound and doubled over for 18 years, and we talked about the freedom Christ gives us from those things which bind us and setting us free from those. We looked then at Hebrews chapter 13, and we considered the act of sharing, and we're reminded that sharing is an act of mutual love that we have for each other and for others because of Christ. Last week we looked at the letter of Paul to Philemon, and we looked at Onesimus, a slave who had formerly been useless but who became useful. And we discussed and considered how we might be useful in God's kingdom and in the things he calls us to. And today we're going to look at the stories of the lost and the found. So Luke chapter 15 verses 1 through 10 says this: all the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable: suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders.
When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me, because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me, because I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for the love and the grace that you give to us, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak this day. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The story of the lost and found. A familiar story to most of us. Probably most of us are more familiar with the third parable he tells of the lost son and the father who receives him back. But the story of the lost and found in the parsonage is a weekly story. Abby and I will be being awesome parents, doing whatever it is we're supposed to do, and all of a sudden one of the kids lets out this blood-curdling scream. They have lost a toy. They have lost something. And everything has to stop. It's not like a video game where you can pause. We have to stop everything, and we have to search for this lost toy. And then when we find it, there is great rejoicing amongst Joel or Nora or both. And then 5 minutes later, we find it on the floor somewhere as they are off doing something else. But there is great joy when what was lost becomes found. And while we joke about children losing their toys, how many of us have lost something as serious as the TV remote? Yeah, that's a reason to stop everything and find it, because I'm not walking all the way to the TV to change it manually. I grew up doing that, and I got PTSD from it. We're not doing that anymore. Yeah, boy, that's right. When the lost is found, there is joy. There is joy because there's closure, right? Now we know what has happened to whatever item or whatever thing that we've lost. There is joy because everything is as it should be. Life can resume like normal. And sometimes we find things we didn't even know were lost. Has anyone ever put on their winter coat and found money? Yeah. They didn't do that this week. Right? But we, every now and then we'll find money. We're like, all right, it's a good day. I don't tell Abby because then she'll take it and I won't have it anymore. In both of the stories we have today, here in Luke 15, there is celebration at the lost being found. The celebration is so joyful that friends and family are invited. Now, we don't typically call friends and family to tell them that Joel and Nora have found their toy or something like this, but in these two parables, that which is lost and that then which is found is so joyful that they have to celebrate. And they have to bring people together so that everyone can rejoice. And in the midst of these two parables, these two stories, there's always been a question that I have had. I've always been curious. What happens to the sheep and the coin? And I know what you're thinking. We don't know. What happens to the sheep and the coin? What money does the woman use to throw this party at her house? Right? Unless she owns a party store. What money does she use? Where does this money come from to do this? What does the shepherd do with the sheep when he invites his friends and family over for this great banquet? Now, in the third parable, where we have the prodigal son returning, we know that the father uses his resources that are left after he's given this money to his son, and he throws this lavish party, and he takes the fattened calf, and he kills it, right? And there's a huge celebration. What happens to the sheep and the coin? Could it be that these items that have been lost and found, could it be that this experience has given the shepherd and the woman a new perspective on their possessions, on the things that they own? In their joy at finding these things, it seems as if they throw caution to the wind and they celebrate with these elaborate parties. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this shepherd and this woman probably were not too well off. They probably weren't wealthy. If you're spending that much time scouring your home looking for a coin, if you're looking for one sheep out of 99, I get the sense that maybe these people are living paycheck to paycheck. So what do they do? How do they throw these lavish parties? Maybe finding these items has reminded them that God is the one who provides, that God is the one who continues to care for us, whether we have or whether we don't. Could it be that the shepherd and the woman, after having gone through this experience, use their resources to praise God and to bless others with this celebration, with this party? Today we have probably noticed a little something different in the sanctuary. Has anyone found a toy in their pew? We've got some things scattered about. We have our lost and found. This is our actual lost and found box from the office. We'll be there in a second. To a child, to Joel and Nora, these toys are awesome. Do you know why they're awesome? Because they're here, right? These aren't the grade A toys, right? We don't have the Transformer toys, the Autobots and the Decepticons. We don't have the G.I. Joes, right? We've got the other toys. Does anyone ever remember going to Fantastic Sam's and after you got your hair cut, you'd take a little piece of your hair and put it in a box and a toy would come out? I grew up in Louisville, so that's what we did. Okay, let me think of something else here. On Christmas morning, did anyone ever have it? No. So those are the types of toys, a little cheap toys that don't really matter, but man, it sure is exciting to get those. We need a Fantastic Sam's here in Elkton. That'll help with this analogy. So if anyone wants to help me fund one of those, we'll get that figured out. But these toys to little kids are awesome. And I told Joel and Nora about them, and I told them yesterday, I said, you only get one. And then they told all their friends. And then a couple of their friends came back downstairs after they'd been up there and said, Joel and Nora, you're right. There's toys in the sanctuary. These toys are awesome because they're here. To some of us, however, maybe these toys are a little distracting. Maybe the place feels a little cluttered for some of our OCD brothers and sisters who are like, wait a second, this is not here. What are you doing in my seat, right? How dare you? Some of us would prefer not to have to deal with these toys, right? We don't really care about them. And I apologize this morning if you accidentally sat on one. That was not our intent. But these possessions to most of us are not that important. Again, they're mostly distracting, or maybe we enjoy the fact that the kids seem to enjoy them, but to many of us, they're something that we might just throw away, right? They're just kind of trash. They're just kind of there. But to others, these might be valuable treasures, right? Maybe one of these things you saw, and it reminded you of a wonderful, fond memory of getting your hair cut in Louisville when you were a kid. For the rest of you, I don't know, whatever imagery you might have for that. The items here in this lost and found box, a lot of these have been here a long time. Like we call them the lost and found box. They're lost, but they still haven't been found. We have this little gem here. A true friend is the greatest of all blessings. This is yours. You can come pick it up later. I'll keep it here. I'm not going to take it. We've got a cool pair of sunglasses here. And then some reading glasses. I don't know if these are yours. Yes? All right, well, you can come and pick them up later, right? So we got those. We've got a nifty little ornament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right. We got a lot of keys. I'm tempted to go and push the alarm button on this one and see what new car I got. I'll sell this for $100 if anybody wants it. Right now, we've got a woman's watch. It's very nice little thing. We've got a volunteer pin. We've got some rings and some earrings and all kinds of things that may be important to somebody, but they're just kind of in this box. And if they have gone missing, nobody has been too concerned with them. Right? Nobody's throwing a lavish party, maybe with the car keys, but nothing else, right? Nobody's throwing a lavish party when these things are found. These are just, a lot of them are just trinkets and various things. And most of us wouldn't be afraid if we lost these things, obviously, right? And certainly the toys that are in the pews, it's no big deal if it gets lost. And in fact, we may not even want them. And so the question becomes for us today, what do you fear to lose? What are you afraid of losing? And has this fear of loss kept you from faithfully following Jesus? What could we likely stand to lose in order to be found more faithful? What might we be able to get rid of that would keep us from following Christ? What clutter do we need to get out of our lives? The fear of loss in these three stories, actually, but of course the two that we've read, turn into the joy of celebrating the found. Can we celebrate the found today? Can we recognize the 99 things in life that are going well and celebrate God's goodness, or do we continue to get caught up in the one thing that isn't quite right? The one thing that doesn't quite seem to work, or the one thing that we really wish we had? Maybe there are 99 things that you're worried about and anxious over and fearful of, and that's caused you to transition your focus from the one important thing, which is Jesus Christ. I pray that we might begin to consider in our own lives, as followers of Jesus Christ, what truly matters. What do we have that we can use to bless others? How can we come alongside others? What is God calling us to? And what does that mean at times that we need to get rid of? Or at times, what does that mean that we need to find? I pray that we would allow some things to remain lost so that we can find Jesus in our own lives and so that we can be found by him. And I pray that we may get rid of all the trash and the things that we hold on to and that keep us from drawing closer to Christ and to cling to that treasure, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to do a couple things for me today. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to pick up the toy that's nearest to you. If there is one, if there's not, we've got some awesome erasers that I used earlier. And take it home with you and put it somewhere. And when you see it, remember the parables of the lost and the found. Remember, I'm going to give you all a second while I'm doing, y'all are still looking, so y'all take your time. Take it home with you and put it somewhere so that when you see it, you remember the story of the lost and the found. You might be mindful of the one thing that you need to focus your time and your energies on, and you might be encouraged that nothing that God calls good is a waste. So I want to encourage you to do that. The second thing I want us to do, we mentioned it is our stewardship campaign, and as always, on the last Sunday of our stewardship campaign, we give you an opportunity to bring your pledge cards and your service commitment cards up. We usually put those in a basket, but I thought it would be much more appropriate to put it in the lost and found box. And as we come forward, we might remember that at one time we were lost, but we have been found. And there's great joy and there's great celebration in that. And we may truly consider those things that we can do without so that others might come to know Christ the way we do. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come and to bring those forward during our closing hymn. And so I want to offer a word of prayer for us as we prepare to sing that closing hymn and to continue to be mindful of the things Christ is calling us to. So will you join with me in prayer this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, all that we have, all that we are, has been a gift given to us by you. We thank you for that. We pray that we might continue to be a people of celebration, that we might continue to be a people of joy, that we might recognize the lost and the found. God, you are indeed good to us, and we are grateful for that. Help us to return that goodness to you and to others. Make us mindful today and always of the gifts you have given to us that we might use to bless others. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name.